Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat. I'm your host Rob from Robbie Raz Reviews. As always, we've got Logan in the not-so-green room today, co-host, co-founder, birthday boy, Logan. Yep. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Did you see the video I posted for you on
the one of on Peter farting on Meg's face? Yeah, I saw that. Did you see my comment, asshole?
I didn't. Yeah. Okay. I didn't see it. But yeah, happy birthday. I'd give you one of those if I could. You know, that's going to be your birthday.
I know. So, hug, but we're not in the same place.
Yeah, it's all right. It's probably better.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Joining us today, we've got Adam from DCNA Cigars. Adam, thanks for taking the time, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We understand you've got some inclement weather in your area.
We do. We got some nice thunder boomers rolling through, but hopefully we'll be okay.
All right. Well, we'll try to power through. If we lose power, then we won't power through. But you know. Anyway, so and you're based out of? Are you based out of New York, right?
We are based out of New York, in Westchester County, New York, which is about an hour north of Manhattan.
Okay, and we'll get into that because you've got a store over there and yes. Everything, right? So yeah, we'll get into that as kind of as we go along. Just to kind of give you guys some updates on the show, we're going to go through. We've got some giveaways to do. Logan, how many giveaways are we doing?
Two.
We got two. All right. And we're doing two 5-packs?
We're doing 2 5-packs, and then we're going to do something after the show.
Okay.
Special.
Okay, cool. So we'll probably do the 5-packs early. And we've also got, for the next 48 hours, we'll have DCN Vitola sampler packs available in the store. There should be a link right there on the front page for you. Click right through to the store, and it's a four stick sampler, correct? It gives you one of each Vitola.
Correct, gives you one of each size, right?
Okay, and we'll get into more details on the cigar, and there's some details posted there as well. But as the show goes on, we'll give you some details. But that'll be up for about 48 hours or so, probably through Saturday. So if you guys are interested in purchasing a sampler, you can go ahead and do that there. So let's just get started. We'll dive right in. Adam, give everybody, a little bit of background on yourself and, how you got involved. And I know we've got the story posted, the truncated version, I'm sure, of the story posted in our store. But give us a little bit of background how you ended up in the industry.
Well, I'll give you the quick version, I guess. I've been in the retail side of things for 20 years now. I bought a small little pipe shop in my hometown when I was graduating college. We turned that into a full-time business. This was back in 93, geared more towards cigars. Cigar boom hit 95, 96, and the business just took off. We now have 2 retail stores, one in Lower Westchester, which my brother Josh operates, and the one up here in Yorktown. And then, being in it for 20 years, I've watched some of your past guests. A lot of us have been on the retail side before the manufacturing side. Now I wanted to really delve into another chapter of the business, so to speak.
Yeah, we had just recently we had somebody on. I think it was it Colt?
Colt.
Cigars?
Yeah, it was Colt. Yeah,
Colt Stulak. Yeah, Roma Craft. There's a shit ton of them.
Yes, I was watching some of your past shows and I noticed a common theme.
Yeah, and it was actually that was kind of a theme at IPCPR. And Logan, you can probably comment on this too. When we walked around the show, that was one thing that I heard from some of the reps that I know for different companies that a lot of their accounts were at the show, but not in a buyer mode. They were in a seller mode because they were there to sell their product. So it seems like that's a theme. You got a lot of shop owners are coming out with their own blends. So I think it's pretty cool because I mean I like smoking new stuff. So it seems like there's always something new out there. So I think that's good for guys like me. So let's talk a little bit about how you came up with this particular blend and how that all came to be.
Well, again, being in the business so long, you develop good relationships with different vendors. I've developed a great relationship with Alec Bradley over the years. So a few years ago, I was actually down in Honduras with them visiting the Plasencia's factory, Tobaccos de Orient. Not on a mission of any kind, mind you, just taking a trip. When I was in the factory, that's when I kind of came across a whole bale, if you will, of tobacco, and it was marked 312. So, yeah, I mean, the story's on the website. Real quickly, you know, 312 is significant to me. It's my children's birthday, the months that they were born. So I said, you know, what's the story with this tobacco? And one thing led to another. Eventually it was rolled up. We tried it. And that was, like I said, over 2 years ago. So this has been a 2.5-year process, and we just came to market at the end of April.
Wow, that's that is, you know, this. A lot of people have said, sorry, Logan, let me cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I just was saying, damn.
That's
a long time. That's all I have to contribute.
That's all I got. That's it. Yeah, this is definitely not the business to get into to make a quick buck. From what I hear, I mean,
no, absolutely not. No, that's the good part of being on the retail side as well. I already have the avenue to sell it, and it started out. It's doing phenomenal right here in the shop. A lot of our regulars, we've turned on to it. It's become their everyday smoke. So if you're not already in the business, it's got to be so difficult to try to bring a cigar to market.
Yeah, we've and Logan can, again, speak to this as well. I mean, we've heard a lot of the horror stories of, you know, guys who are just new to the business and, you know, some of the pitfalls that that can jump out and get you for sure.
Them getting the gringos.
Yeah,
that's how I've been heard.
Well, you know, I mean, they take the money, I guess. But
hey,
yeah, why not? So, okay, so you went down there and you were just kind of now. Okay, I've heard that the flight into Honduras when you come into land is pretty brutal.
Yeah, the whole small runway thing. It's like that. It's like that in some, even here in Westchester County, we have a smaller airport called the Westchester County Airport, and it's a small runway, and it's always an adventure. And these are regular airline, you know, a big time adventure landing in these areas. So yeah, it's a little like that.
Yeah, I've heard that you come down in the mountains and you have to land. It's a quick it's a quick landing.
That's correct.
I you know, I have no problem flying, but I find myself in the last 15 seconds of the flight, in my head, I'm just saying, do a good job, do a good job, do a good job, because the landing always freaks me out. And I want to comment, Hardly Clerkin is telling us that we need backdrops. My backdrop is usually my backyard, but they were sawing down
one
a tree or something.
One day, man.
Well, we do need to invest the $15 into a backdrop from like Vistaprint or something, but
Harley, we invest our time to bring people
what,
like you.
That's what I got. Yeah. Vistaprint special.
There you go. See, we need to do something like that. Well, one of these days we'll grow up and do that, but we haven't gotten there yet. So yeah, it does look like I'm in the dark. I wasn't given a timeout or anything. It's just outside was a little noisy, so I moved in. That's why we were a little bit late. So it was entirely my fault.
That was the wrong one, but it was your fault.
It was anticlimactic. I was – nothing. Usually drum roll leads to something. All right, so – okay, so let's backtrack. I got sidetracked with the airport. So you were down there. You find this tobacco, and you start – you know, you're messing around with it. From that process – and this is the part that I like to talk about because, I mean, being in the part of the industry that Logan and I are in, we see it from the outside. We don't get to see that insider perspective of, well, there's this tobacco, and then, you know, you can go in and play with the different things. That's what everybody says. I like to go down and play with the tobacco. How much of that were you involved in with the actual blending?
Well, here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to develop a cigar that would appeal to as many people as possible, so to speak. In other words, I wanted a mild cigar smoker to be able to enjoy it, and I wanted a full-bodied cigar smoker to be able to enjoy it. That was the mission with the cigar. So the reason it took about 2 years or so is because they would send up from the factory samples. Like, for instance, the first samples I smoked I liked. I didn't like the color at all. I thought they were too dark. You know, so then there's a whole nother process starts. So every time you re-blend this, it's a good 3-4 months before I get the product to try, And after you do it 3-4 times, you're a year and a half in.
Yeah. No, that's the when you look at it from that standpoint, I mean, you can really understand why some of this stuff takes forever. From what I've heard, you know, you come up with a blend, you find something that you like, and it's got to sit there for 90 days before right. you really get the full. I mean, yeah, there's people out there who can smoke something fresh and tell you what it's going to taste like. I think those guys are few and far between. I mean, those are the guys who are down there all the time. But, you know, for, you know, somebody new like yourself starting out in the business, you got to wait that 90 days to really get an idea of what that cigar is going to taste like so that the flavors can really meld together. And, yeah, I mean, if you go through a couple of different iterations and you're, like you said, that's a year and a half gone.
Yes. Yes.
So when from there, I mean, we've got the band design has some, you know, some family connections to you as well, from what I understand. Give us a little bit of insight on that.
Yeah, the band design, a friend helped me with here locally. You could see the crest is basically from the Siena region where my heritage is, from Siena, Italy.
Okay.
And then you have the nice backdrop of the Siena Mountains there. And I really wanted to try to capture, you know, family means so much. So I wanted to try to capture my family's heritage. And that's why the different names on the boxes relate to my children. Like the K4 Robusto is my daughter. She was 4 years old when we start, you know, when we started this and so forth. So that's the essence behind that.
Cool. That's it's always good to have. I mean, I like the look of it anyway. You know, it had a very European feel to it to me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got family from Norway and family from Italy, so I don't know anything about family crests and that kind of thing. But to me, it looked very.
You have one? Yeah. No, I'm not lying when I say this. This is going to sound like total bullshit, but I'm not lying. So we're descendant from in Ireland from it's Lowlors, and we're actually Viking royalty, and have a castle in Ireland. Seriously. Now, did I get any of those genes? No.
Negative. You could be a Viking.
Do. I do. My wife calls me a Viking all the time.
Yeah, you just.
I smell bad. Like, and don't ever shave. But I did today.
Who's the one from the comic strip? The Hagar the Horrible?
Sure. Sure.
You could be that guy. He's just kind of like big and oafish and just like steps on things.
Badass. But,
yeah, well, there's
question.
That.
Well, anyway. So, Adam, question. So.
Yeah.
For people that haven't traveled to Siena, Italy or have been to Italy, and I ask this because I've been there, so I know. Name two cool things about Siena, Italy, and I'm referring to the race and then the bank.
Yeah, the bank. The thing that stuck out the most in Italy is the Duomo, the church, and the square.
That's just cool too.
Yeah.
That's cool too.
And like I was telling you before we went on air, the name of the race eludes me. I can't remember what it's a big horse race that goes through the market, and we literally missed it by a week or so when we were there a few years back in October. I don't know what you mean by the bank. What are you referring
to
there?
It was the first official bank founded by the Templars, and it was the Bank of Siena, and it's the oldest bank in the world.
I see.
But I'm like a history nerd. Like, I walk around and the horse race in the square, there's like 17 people in each different district has a race, and people get all fired up and drink, and like if they lose, beat the shit out of each other. It's awesome.
Big party. Big party.
It is a big party, exactly.
Yeah.
But, anyways, that's a little history for you.
You never know what you're going to learn on Cigar.
Random stuff, man. I'm telling you. Just random stuff, I know.
Just rain and knowledge. Are you looking up what the horse race is called?
I thought about it, but then I didn't.
Somebody look up what the Paolo. Paleo?
Paleo.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Good job, Jared. You're on it.
Anyways, back to the cigar. So, Rob, you want me to just dive right in?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So, you know, after reading your bio, so you were down there, you know, you kind of found this tobacco. It's something you want to work with. What factory? I don't think we've covered this. What factory did you kind of work with, or what company did you work with for the iterations that you went through over the last couple of years?
Well, Alec Bradley has been facilitating this whole process because, you know, again, as being in retail, to actually be manufacturing and dealing with customs, and Alec Bradley has a good standing with Nestor Plasencia's factory down the tobaccos to Orient in Honduras, and that's where our stuff is being made, as well as a lot of other fine name brands that we all know. Rocky Patel's are made there, some of them. Obviously some Alec Bradley stuff and many others. So they have a great reputation and they do a great job.
So my question, and I agree, they make some great stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of other, you know, the Garcias and a lot of other families that make, you know, cigars for other people. I haven't heard of many with Alec Bradley helping or facilitating. Was this through a personal relationship that you had with Alec Bradley or something, you know, as a retailer? How did you come to work with Alec Bradley?
Yes, I have a good, from retail, a good standing with them. I've always done very well with their products. Their products sell very well here. They're a very good company to work with. Very retailer friendly. Lines of communication have always been great with them. And that's why I decided to, you know, again, that was why I was down there in the first place, just on a trip with them. And it all kind of sprung from there.
Okay. So, you know, being, you know, I mean, obviously in the retail side of things for, you know, forever, and kind of being new to cigar manufacturing, I know we get, or the manufacturing side, a lot of people that are out there in the chat always want to know this, is what has been kind of the biggest lesson learned or the thing you wish you would have known before you got into this? If you could have stepped back, you know, 2 years ago and say, man, if I know this, it's going to make my life so much easier.
Well, honestly, when I started this process a few years ago, it was before, and Rob touched on this, it seems like almost every retailer now has their own cigar. So how do you, you know, how are you different than everybody else? And that's a hard question to answer. I mean, the basic question is, I know I have a good product. I'm sure other people have good products too. So the biggest challenge will be getting the merchandise on other retailers' shelves.
It's true. So, yeah, no, it's true. I mean, how, and that's a good question to lead into, is that how, you know, being a retailer and having your own line, so you're kind of playing in both worlds now. I mean, how do you, because you're going to be at your shop working, how do you plan on distributing the cigar? Are you going to use, I mean, not necessarily contract reps, but farm it out to Alec Bradley for their reps? Or are you going to go around, you know, selling? How's that going to work?
Basically how we're doing it now. See, the good thing, again, being, you know, I have it on my shelf, so I'm already selling the product. Okay, we're selling it off our website, onlinecigarshop.com, and we sell it in our other location. So we already have avenues to move merchandise, and so far we're doing well. I haven't, you know, so in other words, I'm not rushing. Okay, so I'm starting to build relationships and make inroads with other retailers, discussing the product with them. I haven't decided to take on any brokers at this time. And then we're just going to try and build it from the ground floor and see how it goes. You know, we'll be at the IPCPR next year.
Great.
I wasn't able to do it this year because honestly we were in between shipments. Our first shipment was such a big hit. We sold out and we were without product for a good month and a half.
Wow.
That's
a good problem to have.
Yeah, but a bad time to have it.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now that Logan's done with quizzing you on your business model.
Hey, that was all good questions.
Those were very good questions.
They were insightful.
For business class 218 with Logan Lawler, that's funny, too. So how do you? So what's your plan to sell it? I don't know why that was funny to me.
It was a great. I was going to IM you and ask you why you were chuckling because I thought that was a very insightful question.
That's why
he's
I was
in his shop.
Well, that's why I was chuckling because in my head it's like, okay, when is the overhead projector going to kick in and the PowerPoint going to show up?
I work in corporate America. What the F do you expect?
Yeah, look at you caught yourself. That's good.
I know I did. I try to keep it PC. I have one more question and then back to you.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Somebody in the chat wants to know, did you happen to go to college at George Washington University?
I did not. I went to a small school here in New York called Pace University.
Okay. Because they said you look a lot like somebody they know. So they were obviously wrong. Moving on.
We go from business class to stalkers. I love it.
Hey,
I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. So let's talk about the cigar a little bit. I know Logan smoked it. I smoked two of the Robustos. I have not smoked the Toro yet. The Robusto for me, I enjoyed the flavor profile. It was very earthy. And I was talking to Adam, and I talked a little bit offline. There's a particular flavor that I got in there, and I think Jared was trying to get to the same thing in his review too, but he said it in a different way than I would have. But there's like a smoky flavor in there, which I know that you're smoking, so it all tastes smoky, but like a mesquite smoky, like a burning wood smoky kind of flavor. I wouldn't call it like a campfire type thing, but you know what I'm getting at. It's not like a, I want to say a barbecue note, but it's not like a barbecue sauce, but it's like a smoky kind of flavor, and it's a little bit salty. It was an interesting note that was in there, and Adam, you were saying that's really just in the Robusto that has that note. Like that was, did we kind of see eye to eye on that?
I think it's more pronounced in the Robusto. You'll get some of that in the Toro as well. And, you know, after we spoke about that, you know, a lot of people feel the same way, and I feel it too. It's, you know, I've always had a hard time putting flavors to cigars, you know, like cinnamony, leathery, yeah, earthy. You know, I know if I like a cigar. You know, I know if it has a good taste. I know if it burns well. I leave the descriptions up to, you know, you guys and the consumers.
Mistake. Just kidding.
Come on, that's what you guys are on for. You know, you guys do a great job.
He didn't say he gave us any credit. He said he left it. There's a difference.
Touche.
But go ahead, sorry.
But the thing I was going to add was it could be, you know, we have some Colombian filler in there. And, I mean, to my knowledge, there's not a lot of cigars that use, you know, a Viso filler from Colombia. And that could be what's adding a little bit of a different characteristic that's hard to put your finger on.
Yeah, it's definitely unique. For me, it was, you know, full flavored, lots of flavor to it. It wasn't the most complex cigar that I've had, but I don't think that's a bad thing. It was very consistent throughout, and I haven't posted my review yet, but I've got a ton of photos. The ash in this thing, like it didn't want to break off. I had to like remove it because I didn't want it to fall on me. But the construction on it is amazing. The draw was great. Very, very consistent flavors throughout. But there was that definite, I mean, earthy notes. There's a little bit of, not much sweetness, a little bit of a nuttiness in there. But that barbecue kind of, but barbecue is not the right word, but like campfire-y kind of flavor for me was really what set it apart. And like that could be, I think that could be a make or break for somebody. Either you would like that or you wouldn't. I personally liked it. And I think it would go really well with like a real peaty scotch for me, like a smoky peaty scotch, like a Lafrague or something like that. I think they would pair each other really well. That's my opinion. Logan, you want to give us a little bit of your thoughts?
I think it was similar. I mean, I definitely got the, and I need to smoke another one, obviously, because I was kind of got some kind of Indian viral infection.
Oh.
When I was in India, and I was all clogged up. But the barbecue, it was definitely very pronounced. And I only smoked the Robusto so far. But, I mean, like Rob said, I mean, it was sweet. And it did have, and I smoke a lot for, well, cigars, but, like, you know, barbecue and stuff like that. And I have a huge smoker and stuff. But it smelled like, I mean, the way I would describe it is the kind of a mesquite smoke coming through the barbecue pit when you have ribs and that spice in it is what it tasted like to me. I mean, I've never had the Kentucky Fire Cured Tobacco in any cigar, but I would say that it would taste similar to that.
I wouldn't compare it to the Fire Cured. I get my neighbor's hog is firing up. I just got noises all over the place. But the way you described it is right. Like the mesquite coming through the smoker. Like for me, that was what the flavor was like. I really liked it. Logan, are you frozen?
Looks no.
Like you, oh, your camera just froze up, or at least on my end it did.
That's good. That's because I muted, so you didn't see my face.
Thank you. That's very considerate. While we're talking about the cigar, let's do these giveaways real quick.
Can do them right now.
Let's do them now, and then we can get that out of the way. So that way, if somebody doesn't win, they always have a chance to buy some of the samplers as well.
Done it. All right, let me just update it. Give me a second here.
So just Adam, you get to pick the winners.
Sure.
All the pressure is going to be on you.
No problem.
All right. Let me go right here. We've got name. Let's do. Okay, so they're 1 through 13.
You want me to pick a number 1 through 13?
Yeah. Yes.
11.
Please. 11. Austin Wiggins. I don't know who you are because I think you're new, but congratulations, Austin Wiggins.
I don't recognize that name either.
I don't either.
All right, people. That's good.
And then we got one more number.
One more?
I hope we did. Yep, one more.
All right, pick one more, Adam.
Number 13, not 11. 3.
It's rare we get through a show without a 7.
I know. It's very, very, very rare. Crap. Boom. right here. It looks like, man, I can't believe it. Matt Ross. Damn it.
Is he even eligible to win?
I know that name.
He works here.
Everybody knows that name. But no, Matt Ross, congrats. You win.
All right. So those are our two winners. We've got, and I think we've got some that we're going to be giving away
on the site
after the show.
Correct.
And we've also, if you guys, if you didn't win, you can always go pick up a sampler and check them out. So, Adam, tell us a little bit about, you know, we've, like you said, we've had people on the show who have a retail background, but I've never really talked about the retail side of the business before. I mean, give us kind of a glimpse into the daily life of a cigar shop owner.
Well, obviously from state to state, it's very different.
Of course.
And what I'm referring to is tobacco tax.
Oh, yeah.
In New York, we're at 75% of wholesale, which was enacted about 3 years ago. So that's really made things challenging. Obviously, guys can go online, and they're not paying all those taxes. So that's my competition, is the internet. It's not another cigar store down the road or in the next town, or it's online. So that's always been the challenge. I mean, what we've done here is we created a 1,500 square foot members only state of the art cigar lounge. Okay, we have about 125 members, and it really helps build customer loyalty, and that's really the name of the game, is getting the repeat business. But, you know, the landscape has changed so much. I mean, 20 years ago, and I was selling Macanudos and Partagas and Samavos. Right. Now, such a great influx of great boutique brands, and that's what we're getting more into on the retail side, is more boutique stuff. Like you mentioned Romacraft earlier before. We just brought those in. And I mean, and yep, they do a phenomenal job with those sticks. They're great cigars.
Yeah.
And so our business model has changed. We're really getting more into the boutique stuff that's harder to find online and isn't as price sensitive.
Yeah, that's you know what? I've never really thought about it from that standpoint. But there are a lot of boutiques that don't sell online. You know, I mean, all of House of Emilio. I mean, those are the guys like Ezra Zion and guys like that. They're strictly B&M.
You know what it is, Rob, to just interject for a second? It's not so much that they're sold online. It's are they price protected? Okay? In other words, most manufacturers, especially the boutique guys, they don't want you discounting more than 10% off MSRP. Now, if you go online and you see a Macanudo or whatever, it's $4 over cost. That's the real – it's not that they're sold online. It's what they're sold for.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah. But I think if you're going strictly on you're selling strictly to B&Ms and that's the only place that you can get it, I mean, you have more price control there, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And there are even big companies like Altadis. You know, we have in New York, we have the Monte Cristo New York. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not sold online. It's not outside of New York. And it's a phenomenal cigar. And people just keep coming in for it, and they can only get it here in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a regional thing. There's a lot of companies doing that now too. I know Miami Cigar is doing one.
Yeah.
In
Texas.
Yeah, they've got the Midwest and I don't know what other ones they've got, but yeah, Alec Bradley did the New York as well.
They did, but they opened that up and they use a portion of the proceeds to help the New York State Tobacco Association.
Okay, so outside of, you know, the elephant in the room, which is taxes, what other, you know, day to day challenges are you facing that are impeding your business, I guess, or what kind of things do you do on a day to day basis that are helping your business?
You know, here in New York, we are a bit of a seasonal business. The first quarter is always significantly slower than the rest of the year, a good 30-35% off from what we do in the summer. So the summer, we're just, you know, September is finishing up our busy season. So how we've combated that a little bit again is the lounge. We do monthly events in store. We do weekly promotions, all the kind of marketing and promotional stuff to help drive people here. That's huge. I mean, we're susceptible to the economy to a certain degree, too. I mean, everybody always thinks tobacco is recession-proof, you know, to a degree. But you got, you know, this isn't cigarettes. This is high-end premium cigars where if one of my customers loses his job or is downgraded from his job, he's not coming in as often, or he's not coming in at all because he can't spend $10, $15 on a stick.
Yeah, that's another good point. I've never really talked to a shop owner, you know, about their kind of day to day. I mean, we all see, we all see that, you know, you guys have, you know, your reps are coming in and, you know, you're checking out what's new and you're going to the different shows, IPCPR and things like that to, you know, to get the new product. But just on a regular Tuesday in March, I mean, what can you really do to drive extra traffic other than doing, you know, different events and things like that? I mean, it's a constant, I mean, I know we're getting off topic because we're here to talk about your cigar, but
no, that's okay. I do a lot of social media stuff. I mean, I do a lot of Facebook. I do a lot of Twitter. I work on the website. That stuff isn't as important in the summertime because I'm so busy with customers. And yeah. You know, I do everything here. You know, I do everything from the ordering to paying the bills to helping customers to vacuuming the floor. I mean, it doesn't stop. But you know what? It's great. Being in the business has been very good to me, and it's a lot of fun. I got great customers. You know, it's not a high stress, you know, like where if you own a deli, people are rushing in to get sandwiches and rushing out. It's not like that here. You know, people want to go around, talk cigars. It's a much different environment.
So when when you talk about some events that you guys do, there's one shop here that's local to me, well, relatively local, and they've started doing a lot of interactive events, things like, you know, they have a sponsored cigar, one particular cigar, and nobody knows what it is, and everybody who comes in that night, you pay like $10 or whatever the price of the cigar is, and everybody gets one. It's got no band on it. The whole group is there, and they smoke it together, and they talk about it. And I don't think the goal is to really try to figure out what it is that you're smoking, but just to kind of everybody smoking the same thing. You can see, you know, different palates and different tastes and things like that. I mean, do you guys do anything?
It's cool.
And I think it's, you can do a lot of interesting stuff once you take the band off. It's just like having a wine tasting party where you wrap the bottle of wine in a paper bag. Nobody knows what it is. And at the end of the night, the $3 bottle is the favorite for some reason. But, no, I mean, do you guys do anything along those lines to really kind of engage your customers on a regular basis?
Well, in a matter of fact, we have an event coming up next week. We're doing Davidoff tongue tasting, which I did years ago when I went to the Davidoff factory with Henke Kellner. It's incredible. You basically get three or four different blending sticks. We'll have Jeff Stone here, who's the Davidoff ambassador, so to speak, and he does a whole presentation and how different parts, different blends within a cigar hit you on the different parts of your tongue. You know, a certain part of your tongue tastes the salt, a certain part tastes the sweetness. and so forth. So it's a really cool thing. So we got that going on next week for about 30 people. And we do things like that. We'll do different pairings with different scotches and stuff like that. So we do that interactive thing you just talked about, though, was interesting. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I've seen I've been on forums where you'll do different games where one guy will send somebody three different cigars and you smoke it and you try to figure out what it is and you have no idea. But to have a whole room full of people and to really get that both ends of the spectrum and everything in between, I think that would be kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I did it, so it's and you learn a lot too. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Davidoff thing I hadn't heard of. I've heard of Davidoff, but I haven't heard of their event. Logan, are you all right? You falling asleep over there? Is your camera's all jacked up or something? Yeah. I think we lost Logan.
Mosquitoes.
Oh, you have mosquitoes?
No.
No? I don't know what Logan's talking about. Do you have any audience questions, Logan?
Yeah, I got freaking mosquitoes. Yes. That's what I was doing. I was trying to engage our audience, Rob. Let me know.
Okay, go ahead.
How many boxes was your initial run, and how many boxes are you planning on for your second run?
Well, we're already into our second run. Our second run arrived about a month and a half ago. Right, mid-August, I guess. Our first run, we went through in a month over three, I don't know the exact number, it was about 350 boxes.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's primarily, well, we did a big launch dinner where we had about 70 or 80 people at a nice local steakhouse, and we sold a ton there. Obviously, I've been handing them out like crazy, because the idea, you want to get it in people's hands.
Sure.
Okay, you got to get people to try it. I think once most people try it, a lot of them are going to like it. Not everybody, of course, because everybody's tastes are different. Our second shipment, we almost tripled. So that's here now, and that's why now we're starting to... I don't remember if it was Logan or Rob brought it up earlier about, the retail hat and the manufacturing hat. That's the challenge for me right now. I'm retail first, so I'm trying to get more into that manufacturer mode. You know, I'm a little different than I've seen some of your previous guests. I don't have, a quality importer selling my cigars or of that nature. I mean, this is my deal. Alec Bradley, is a great partner, but they're not out there selling my cigar, and I don't expect them to. It's on me, and I like the challenge. I'm enjoying the process, and as we're going along, it's like I said, they're not just sitting somewhere in a warehouse. They're going out the door as I'm learning how to do this, so to speak.
Yeah, that's it is interesting. I mean. Yeah, you've got two very distinct jobs that you're doing.
Yeah.
Two full-time separate jobs.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, and you got a family going. God bless you, man. You're you're out there getting after it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Logan, keep going.
All right. Next question from Matt Ross. What is the most difficult thing about choosing and acquiring tobacco for cigars? Are there times when you have a blend that you're unable to get enough tobacco to make it in quantity?
Well, I haven't experienced that problem yet. The only thing we experienced is, I think Logan brought it up earlier. There's a process to this. I mean, I can't just place an order and expect to have it next week. No, actually, Rob, you were saying it. It's about a 90 to 120-day process from when I put an order in to when they're actually in my shop. So the first order we undershot because I didn't know how it was going to go. And it is a big financial commitment because you're ordering a lot of sticks. So, like I said, we sold out in the first month. So now this order, we tripled. So it's not so much about running out of tobacco or it's trying to manage your cash flow. Logan, getting back to the business side of it. Okay. We want to have enough product, but we don't want a ton of boxes just sitting around either. So that's the biggest challenge All right, so that's a little bit of manufacturing and retail put together there.
Yeah, man, you're facing some challenges.
Carrying cost.
That's for sure.
Carrying cost.
Carrying cost,
so,
right.
So, next... Yeah, carrying cost. Okay, so that makes sense. Well, let me follow up on that. How would you, other than going out and selling more, I mean, you come down to it, you have all these boxes saying that you're not selling them, or you are selling them, you know, is that where you put your, you know, put the retail part on hold and go out and sell, or is that more of you step back and try to find alternative ways to get your cigars out the door? Because, I mean, it seems like it'd be a very, I don't know, a very conflicting thing. It's like, well, I need to sell these cigars, but at the same time, I need to take care of my customers in my store. And hopefully you never get there. I'm just curious if that's happened or what you would do.
I have to juggle, do some juggling. I do have help. I have a good young man that works with me here, DJ. He's going to probably help me in, you know, he's working with me in the store, and he's going to probably, I think, you know, the plan we came up with is we're going to try and, like, my shop here is the epicenter. We're going to try to work our way out. All right, so from here, we're going to go out. We're going to go to, you know, stores in the tri-state area and then, you know, slowly branch out like a spider web that way. So we're going to do most of that. I'm going to go to some shops. DJ's going to go to some shops. We're formulating, you know, we obviously have the price list and all that kind of stuff, and we're formulating how the best way to go about doing that. Again, we've been blitzing social media. You know, we're doing a lot of that. We're getting, you know, I'm on your show, obviously, you know, stuff like that.
I saw that Logan said in the chat room that he was going to stop talking, but it looks like your video is fine now. So you can keep talking.
Am I good now?
Yeah, I think you're good. It's a little bit behind, but yeah.
I'm more interesting anyways. So, you know, well, I try to. So, you know, obviously your first run, been at it, getting there for a couple years, just launched in April. Obviously, big trend in the industry, you know, with boutiques and everything. What's the new cigar? What are you doing this year? I mean, we know you just launched, but what's next for DCNS Cigars?
Well, we're already coming out with another size. Right now, the smallest ring gauge we have is a 52. We've been working on a Corona Gorda.
Nice.
5.5 by 46, and I'm telling you, it's awesome.
There you go.
I've probably smoked. Yeah, 50. You know, I'm starting to get more into the smaller ring gauges. I think they offer such a different taste profile. And so we started working up some blends, and I loved. It's the same. Let me backtrack. It's the same blend. It's just a different size. But I started tasting it. I smoked about 60 of them in probably a month and a half. And I absolutely love the size. I love the burn.
Good work.
I love the taste. So that should be out. We should have that ready for to sell in November.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very cool. And now you just led me into my favorite question to ask. And you're probably the best person at operation. So I feel, and I've seen, is that there's two kind of, let's take Robusto sizing, Vitola. There's going big, like the 6x6, 7x70s, and I could call that more of the traditional smoker, someone that would go to B&M, maybe is a little bit older, and then more of the boutique-type smoker, you know, Corona Gorda, Lancero, you know, Lonesdale, and I feel like those two markets are quite a bit different, and you said you don't smoke a lot, and you're starting to get to smaller sizes. In your store, do you see, you know, smaller ring gauges going faster? Or do customers that come in say, well, I can get this Lancero for $8, or I can get this 7x70 for only a dollar more, I'm getting so much more tobacco. I mean, do you see that a lot, or does it come down to education? What have you seen?
There's definitely been a push over the last couple of years for big cigars. I don't personally like anything over maybe a 54 or 56. And the manufacturers will tell you, 60 or above, they have major issues with combustion. It's hard for them to get that big a cigar to burn consistently. I know now you have some of these 70 ring gauge cigars, and we have a couple of them in the store, and they do sell, but we are definitely starting to bring in some thinner cigars. We're doing well with the Room 101 stuff, especially the HN, that little Papi Chuli and their Corona. So as I'm getting more into it personally, that's conveying to me talking to the consumers. And like I said, DJ, who works here with me, he likes the smaller cigars too. So there's starting to be a little turn for us, because we both like it, that we're heading in that direction a little bit, and we're turning people onto it.
So you're taking more of a proactive approach with, not only just bringing on, different brands, different boutique brands, smaller brands like that. It sounds like you're actively avoiding the larger sticks without actually actively avoiding them.
Well, you know what it is, Rob? I don't really push what I don't personally like, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, I've been proactive my whole business career. I bring things in, people may never have heard of. I don't carry a lot of the mass market stuff. I don't really want to sell it, quite frankly. I want to sell this more. Like I said earlier, I'm definitely gearing more towards the boutique stuff. And maybe part of that is because I'm a boutique manufacturer myself now. So I'm in their same shoes. So where I was maybe 10 years ago, I was less willing to bring a no-name brand in. Now I'm kind of relishing it. So it's a complete evolution, or 180 or 3, whatever it would be called, 360, I don't know. So it's definitely, and that's what keeps me going. Otherwise, you get stale.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But you gotta keep things fresh.
Yeah, it's funny. You get excited talking about this. I mean, we've talked about this type of thing ad nauseum on this show with manufacturers, and is 6x60, is it a fad or whatever? I mean, it is what it is. If people want it, you're going to carry it. But it sounds like your attitude's a little bit different. And I mean, I respect you for doing what you're doing. I mean, bringing in stuff that you like and that you want people to take a look at and say, hey, this is a really good product. You may have never heard of it, but here, you should check it out. That's refreshing to hear that, because it seems like a lot of the things that we've been hearing and I've heard from guys who come on and comment on different reviews that we write or what have you, that they're having a hard time finding stuff that's not 6x60, because that's what's filling the shelves, because that's what people want to buy.
Right. Yeah. And conversely, our A7 Gordo 312 is the number two selling size. So so I can't explain it. So people right now want big, but I don't necessarily push the bigger cigars. They sell, I guess, to a degree, they sell on their own.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about it a lot. We'll move on, because there's no real answer. But I know Logan's got more stuff. He's fidgety over there.
I don't. Yeah. Well, we decided, because Matt was being generous, we're splitting his up. He's getting two, and then a new guy, Corey, is getting three of his five. Matt's sharing the wealth tonight, so I was trying to get that facilitated.
Yeah. Is Matt going to pay the extra shipping?
He freaking better, man. I'm about to have to ship out freaking 35 boxes of cigars. I'm freaking out.
We're all gonna do that. But I'm totally kidding. That was nice of Matt to do that. I took a nice thing and made him sound like a jerk. I don't know why I did that. That wasn't my intention.
I don't know, Rob. I don't know. So outside of the new Vitola, the Corona Gordo, which is very, very sweet. What's the next blend for DCN? Are you going to do some? This one, you said, obviously, right in the middle, medium body, medium strength. You're going to do something a little bit milder in body, or try to go to higher end of the market. What are you trying to go for next?
Well, actually, have you even thought about it? Yeah. Well, actually, we have a Connecticut DCN that we did with Rocky Patel years ago. That's more of what I would call a house brand. We have a few different house brands, and DCANA was kind of launched then, but not with the aspiration of distributing it, like with this cigar. So we have a light, mild Connecticut in-store brand. Right now, I haven't even thought about future brands. This is so new, and this is such on the beginning levels, the first floor, so to speak, that I have a lot to do with this before I could think about another blend or another line. I tend to try to do one thing at a time.
The cigar community, man, we're tough to keep happy. Your cigar just came out. I mean, it's only been around for,
I know,
you said like 6 months, I think.
Yeah, since April.
And we're already asking for something new.
Yeah. So, I got my hands full right now. So, you know, we'll come out with the new size, and next year we're probably going to add some kind of Bellicoso or Torpedo,
because that was Lancero.
Yeah, or maybe a Lancero. Yeah. So. So, you know, we'll kind of expand from within right now.
Yeah, no, I'm just teasing about that. But Logan's always asking for new stuff. I mean, you get him a new cigar, he smokes it, he likes it, and he's like, okay, what else you got? I mean, you can't keep this guy happy.
But you know what? That's how the consumer is. People come in here all the time.
Smoking cigars like collecting Pokemon cards.
That's right.
Pokemon. Wow. It's true. We are from different generations.
I don't know, man.
Brother.
It's like collecting and trading Pokemon cards.
We are from.
I know, dude. I'm a millennial. Can you believe that shit?
I was collecting like 1987 Topps baseball cards with a little wood background.
Yeah. I think Rob and I are more the same generation.
Dude, I was like 3 years old.
I was
3 years old.
I'm just going to mute Logan for the rest of the show. So, guys, we're coming up on.
Yeah, just do it.
We're coming up on the end here. I told Adam we'd have him for about an hour, and we're coming up to that point. So, get any of your last questions in. I know Logan's. Keeping up with your questions, and I think the video is running a little bit behind today. So, Adam, just so everybody can find you and get in touch with you moving forward, let everybody know where you are online. You know, you're very active on social media with Twitter and Facebook, so let everybody know where they can find you.
Well, yeah, you can find us at dcianacigars.com. That would bring you right to our online buying site, which is onlinecigarshop.com. Those are our two main websites. Also, at DCiana Cigars is my Twitter handle. And we have a Facebook page as well. So all that stuff, you know, you can find us very easily. You know, we have all the, boxes, 4-packs, 5-packs, all of that up on the website. Very simple process to place an order. It's a nice, easy shopping cart, the whole bit.
Cool. Yeah, and like I said, for the next, I guess through the end of Saturday, we've got them available. The four stick sampler comes with the Robusto, Toro, Churchill, and the Gordo. That's available in the store until the end of Saturday. So if you guys want to pick up a sampler, go ahead and do so. There's a link right there. Logan, we got any last minute questions? No.
I'm waiting.
No. Okay.
Well, there might be some. Hold up.
No, go ahead.
No,
we're all done.
No,
okay.
They're just talking about how we're all done.
Yeah, we've got people adding you on Twitter, so that's good.
That's good.
Adam, thanks for taking the time to chat with us tonight. I know it's getting late over there on the East Coast, and I think there's a football game on, so if you guys want to get who's playing tonight?
There is.
We got Jets-Patriots.
Somebody.
Jets-Patriots.
Oh, are you a Jets fan?
I am not a Jets fan, but I don't root against them.
Okay, so that was why you were okay with the date. If you were a Jets fan, you would have said, "Sorry, I have to cancel."
I would have never canceled. No football game.
Good answer.
Business is business.
You would have never canceled, but we would have conveniently found another date. I'm a big sports fan, so I would have been totally fine with it. But so again, we appreciate you coming on and making your samplers available to our guys and the giveaways. We appreciate it. It was really generous. So we're going to get a bunch of people smoking it, and hopefully we'll help generate some of that, some buzz for the DCN. I personally enjoyed it. I'll have my review up. I'm heading on a week-long fishing trip on Sunday, so I'm going to try to get it posted up before then. If not, it'll be after. And I'm probably going to bring a couple of DCNs with me and smoke them on my trip. So we also, like I said, we appreciate it. You guys can find me. Guys, we appreciate your support, as always, checking out the show every week. And putting up with me, talking about myself and putting up with Logan, you know, looking the way he does and you know, being like, look at him staring. Look at that. It was the timing was perfect. He's just staring right into the camera. So we appreciate your support. You guys can find me, all my reviews and everything on RobbieRazReviews.com. That was perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that. And at Robbie Raz on Twitter. Logan runs everything here on Cigar Federation. He's at Logan at Dell Corporate Monkey on Twitter as well. Logan, next week, what do we have? We have Fratello next week, right?
Fratello. Yeah.
We've got Fratello Omar. Stars. Omar is another. It's another new line. Logan may or may not be running solo next week. I'm going to be driving back from my fishing trip. I'm just not sure when I'm going to be home. So hopefully I'll be there. And if I smell like fish, you guys aren't going to know because you can't smell me. So, we'll look for you guys next week, next Thursday, same time with Fratello Cigars. And again, Adam, thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it. And best of luck in the future.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me. I had a good time.
Thanks. We appreciate it. Take care. Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.